Hey guys, welcome to the True Blue Riffcast with your hosts, Jeremy and Dave. My name is Christine DeBell, but many of you know me as Susan from A Talking Cat. And as you know, I have to go and get my cheese puffs out of the oven. So have a great time with Jeremy and Dave. See you soon.
Thanks, Christine. This is the True Blue Riffcast, the number one Riff Tracks podcast in the world. And I am Jeremy, and I'm joined, as always, by...
What's up? It's your boy, Dave. Y-A space B-O-I, your boy,
I
Dave.
You were like,
I told you I was going to do it.
I know, like, and I already forgot.
Yes, I'm not sus or cringe, as the kids say. I'm very, you know, I'm a slay queen, as they say. I slayed that.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. Yes.
Lots of crown emojis. Oh my gosh, we have a hype train.
What?
That's amazing. I don't think that's ever happened before.
I know. Wow, we thanks for the resub.
Thank you for the hype train, everybody.
Rivius.
Awesome. You know what? I would gift a bunch of subs, but I'm on my iPhone and they cost like $7. So if I was on like anything else. But we got a hype train here. You want to know why? Here it is. They know we're talking about the latest Riff Tracks release,
Creating Rem Lazar.
And boy, oh boy, we have lots to talk about.
Oh, yes. It's not even that long of a movie, and we're definitely going to be talking about it longer than the runtime, I think.
Yes.
I also found out that it has a Blu-ray release, the 35th anniversary Blu-ray release.
Yes, that comes up. That comes up, and I have a theory as to why we see a certain part of that.
Okay.
But there's a certain part of that that I think has something to do with the Blu-ray release. And
kind of like with The Little Mermaid when they did that, and then that was like, oh, hey, guess what? We're putting this on Blu-ray, like, the same week.
But yes, that as well, but I'm talking about something that's actually in the movie.
Mm.
The movie that we saw, the Riff Tracks version of it.
Okay,
but
gotcha,
we'll get there, guys. We'll get there. We are going to get to Creating Rem Lazar. Because I was making some bold claims to Jeremy, when he'd just be like, oh, this looks interesting, and I'm like, bro, you have no idea. I have seen this, and I'm telling you, now, Jeremy, back me up. I said this. I was like, this is going to be on the same level as Roller Gator. It's going to be on the same level as Fun in Balloon Land. It's going to be on the same level. It is S tier Riff Tracks. This is like God level Riff Tracks selection. I mean, this is just perfect because I, of course, was familiar with it. And Jeremy was like, oh, well, that's what. And then, Jeremy, you watched it, and then did you agree with my assessment?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Well, I definitely want to save some of my reactions for later.
Okay.
But I do have to bring up one thing real quick because I will forget before we get there. So when I was trying to turn it on Friday night, I had already uploaded it to my Plex server like I do everything else, and that way I can just watch it, you know, whatever room I'm in. And
fancy.
I started loading it up, and I was explaining it to Joy, and I said, hey, Dave said that this was, like, Rad for him. Because if you guys don't remember... When Rad came out, like, I was, like, super, like, stoked, like, because they were doing that movie, the one that I've been wanting forever. And then Dave said, this is like, my Rad. And so I had just hit play, and my wife asked if there was going to be any ass sliding in it. And the thumbnail for this video was the scene with the kid on the slide. And it was, like, funny. Just perfect timing. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
We laughed pretty hard, but I just thought that was funny. I had to share that. How's it going, Dave? Anything new going on in your life? Other than Jaywalkers and Parking?
I guess. Oh yeah, I want to. Well, it would be poor form to say, of me to say I want that I want to kill them myself.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't be sad if somebody hit them because they have no self-awareness and they think that they own the streets, them and their stupid skis. Just walking around like,
is there still enough snow for that there?
Yeah, I drove into Park City 4 times yesterday. But like, I think like, you know what I would really like? I would really like to just have a day where I just do like normal rides in Ogden, like all day long. Everyone's just chill and I don't have to go to like Salt Lake County or Utah County where everyone drives like a freaking maniac. But you know, hey, but you know what? I complain about my job, but the other day I made $100 in 2 hours. So, I have it okay.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Speaking of jobs, I know everybody who's in Twitch right now will probably have seen this, but I did get the job of for upper management. I'm now actually an assistant manager. And,
raise the roof.
Starting immediately. So that's pretty cool. I go tomorrow. I'll have a nice new shiny name tag that says assistant manager on it. And yes, that'll be fun. It's
he's
a whole
finally,
new world now.
He's finally raising to middle management after a lifetime of crushing disappointment.
Literally. If you guys didn't know, like, I'm not going to go into it, but there have been plenty of disappointments, you know, working retail and stuff for as long as I did.
That's why I don't.
Yeah, some pretty decent benefits, Rivius. I get like twice as many vacation days and personal days, and my theater does show Fathom Event stuff. And for a while, when they were owned by a different chain, I was very upset with them because the year where we had Octoman and Star Raiders and Giant Spider Invasion, they only showed the repeat of Octoman. And I went into it at length on the podcast.
Because
I was very upset with them. And then right before COVID, they went bankrupt.
This was me the whole time. I was like, okay, Jeremy's complaining about the theater again. Okay. Like, they can't see me. They can't see me yet. They're not going to see me for like another five years.
Yeah.
So I can just be like, just let Jeremy talk about his theater. It's fine. I've never done that.
I did get them to show Rad last year, and I will be making sure that we do not miss another Riff Tracks live broadcast. Of course, I'll be at this year's, but I'll make sure that it's set up beforehand. But yeah, it's exciting. Very exciting. Not as exciting as talking about Rem Lazar, though, because
we got to do that.
That looked good.
I think that's what we have a big live audience right now.
Yeah.
Bigger than we usually have for the taping for the but we got to do some other things first, right? We got to name that Jeremy.
We got to name that Jeremy up first though. We're going to take a look at the weekend box office. Of course, the number one movie, Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire. Dune Part 2 is in second, Kung Fu Panda 4 in third, Immaculate in fourth, Arthur the King in fifth, and I want to touch on Late Night with the Devil, which opened in sixth place. That movie looks really good. It's supposed to be very well written. It's got a lot of positive reviews, but apparently on Sunday, it made $666,666 at the box office.
Wait, is that a Christian movie?
Late Night with the Devil? No, it's a horror movie.
Oh, well, I mean, you never know.
But I just thought that was pretty funny that it supposedly made $666,666 because it's kind of fitting Late Night with the Devil. Well, let's see. Now, saw Ghostbusters Saturday night. Wasn't as good as Afterlife, but it was still good. That's good to hear. Oliver, I have not seen it yet.
People I talked to about that people I talked to about that movie, they say it's the other way around. They say that this movie was slightly better than Afterlife. I haven't seen it. My friend is a huge
Ghostbusters fan. Like, he's got the replica proton pack from Hasbro that they put out a couple years ago. It was like $400 and the full jumpsuit and everything. They went to go see it on Friday, or no, on Thursday. They went to go see it in previews, and they said it was very entertaining. A lot of people are saying that it's kind of like a long episode of the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
That's what I've heard too. I've heard that from a couple of people. My interest
a little bit.
Here's the ghost. Here's the lore of the ghost, and now we're gonna go kill the ghost. I heard Slimer's in it.
Your supervisor built his own Ecto-1. That's pretty interesting. Oh. I would like to see that. Citizen Yarn brings up a good question here.
Yes, she wants to know if we found out
what James Wan is up to. No, because his newest tweet is literally political, so I'm not going to touch it.
We talked about this right before we went live. Yeah. It's just like he's like, I am not talking about James Wan tonight. I was like, oh, good. And like, this is why. And it was just like, no one's going to miss this section. Citizen Yarn, our most loyal. Like, what about James Wan? It's be like, look what you did, Jeremy. You trained him to want him to,
I know,
to hear about James Wan. It's your own fault. I know it was my idea to begin with. But I was like, let's abandon this.
Yeah.
Jeremy's like, no, we're going to keep doing it. He's gonna have an idea, another Birdemic sequel idea, and put it on Twitter, and I'm going to talk about it all the time. And Dave's just going to be like...
Bit me in the ass.
Sure did. Thank you, Citizen Yarn. I appreciate you.
They're a low-level troll. Yeah. All right, Dave. You said stop. I was going to hate you for this, so let's...
Oh, yeah, so let me go ahead and bring up my notes, which are I conveniently mailed these to myself in Facebook Messenger. Okay, so it's another versus battle for Name That Jeremy. Like we haven't. I promise, absolutely not. This is not the case that we have not adopted this format almost exclusively for the last couple of months, because it's so much easier to pull quotes from, you know, where just two, no clues, no years, none of that. So this is a versus battle. Last week for Dave, that riff, it was, what was it again?
For the movies, it was No Retreat, No Surrender and Light Blast. And I think you went five for six.
Yeah. Five for six. Okay, so I did a lot better than I thought I would. And guys, I can't see the chat right now. So, you're on best behavior while we do Name That Jeremy. But today's versus battle for Name That Jeremy is Zindi the Swamp Boy.
Oh, good.
And Yam Bao.
Oh, man. Now, we talked about both of those.
We talked about, yes.
Recently, but...
Yeah, but that was like 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2022, man.
Yeah. I know we did it. I know we did both of them. And
we watched it, and it was delightful. We were both very surprised at how much we liked Yan Bao.
Yeah, because it had been so long since I had watched it.
No.
It's one of those things that I like totally forgot about. Yes, that was since season 4 that we did that one.
Yep. Okay, so I think you're probably going to do better than you think. So these are all from either Zindi the Swamp Boy or Yan Bao. So here's the first one. Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, so. I think this is just footage of Lisa Bonet trying to curse Bill Cosby after he kicked her off his show.
Well, that's Yan Bao.
That is Yan Bao. All right. So.
Very good riff, though.
Yes, very good riff.
And way more appropriate nowadays.
Yeah. So here's the next one. You don't always have to kill when you're hungry. News, Jeffrey Dahmer got too late.
Zindi?
That is Zindi the Swamp Boy. So you're 2 for 2. So here's the next one. This is a riff. Scanning for Uruk-hai chasing on foot.
What? Repeat that for me.
Scanning for Uruk-hai chasing on foot.
God.
You know what Uruk-hai are, right?
Yeah, from Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Okay.
Man. I'm gonna say my first gut instinct is that it's Zindi, so I'm gonna go with that.
It is Zindi.
Woo!
All right, so that's what, 3? 3 for 3?
3 for 3. I only need to at least get one more.
Yeah, and then, yes.
To not
okay,
be a failure.
So here's the next one. The moon is full. Neil Peart has returned.
I'm going to say Yan Bao.
That is Yan Bao, so you're 4 for 4.
I'm guessing it had to do with something with drums being played.
No, actually, it was like one of the slaves was telling their master about something.
I thought it was maybe from one of the like, the little dance scenes that they had with the drums playing. And
yeah, okay. So here's the next one. So that's 4 for 4, right?
Yeah, I at least passed this one. So
yes, you passed. Yes, you are not a failure. Hello, I'm a werewolf from the past here to destroy mankind.
Werewolf from the past. I'm going to say Yan Bao again.
That is Zindi.
Ah.
Okay, so you're 4 for 5. And here's the last one. Okay, so I had to remember this one. I was like, what the hell? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yes, Papa. And ask again before you borrow my belt.
Okay. It seems like it should be Zindi. But I think you might be trying to trip me up on this one. So I'm going to say Yan Bao. Even though I'm looking at your face.
Sure? Are you sure that's the answer?
I'm just
going to
stick
with
it. It doesn't matter. I already passed.
Are you
this
sure
one.
That's the answer you want
that's
to go with?
That's what I'm going with. I'm going with Yan Bao.
Well, that's a good thing because I was trying to trick you into changing your answer. That
Woo!
Is Yan Bao.
I did it.
So you're 5 for 6. You didn't take the bait. Good for you.
All right, I'll take 5 for 6. That's good.
Yeah. So it wasn't that bad.
No. You said I was going to hate you, so I was really nervous that.
Okay.
That
I'm trying
gonna,
to find Twitch.
It was going to be real bad.
So I can see what all our fans are saying.
All right. Well. Now we get to start talking about a fever dream.
Yes. Is it a fever dream? Or is it just like. I don't know. I don't know how I would describe this. I mean, obviously, we're talking about this week's. We've already talked it up quite a bit. Creating Rem Lazar. Now, I think that, like, just from context clues, this looks like a TV pilot. Just based on like the length and how just like. Nothing is really resolved. Like they okay, they never find the Quixotic medallion, and Rem Lazar is like he's like I'm already jumping to the end, but he's relegated to like the Freddy Krueger dream world that I guess he lives in. But yeah, I think that like there's supposed to be more of this. And of course, like whoever our lovely director songwriter man, Evil Mode 7,
Scott Sakarian,
he whoever he showed this to saw it and be like, we can't put this what no, like we can't make this like we can't even show this to anybody, or like are you okay. Are you okay? Do you need help? Because, like, I'm here for you. Call me. Like, it'd just be like, I would rather, I would rather hear about your problems than attend your funeral. Okay. That's what they probably said to him.
I just found out something interesting.
Oh, what?
About this director.
What's up?
So obviously he was the director and the producer and the writer for this. But
yes.
He also was the executive producer for two movies that I own.
Oh.
And one of them I own because it's actually enjoyable. That's The Man with the Screaming Brain, starring the one and only Bruce Campbell. I'm not saying it's good. It's enjoyable. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, okay.
He also did Alien Apocalypse, which was, I think, another Bruce Campbell movie. And that one's really bad, but I do own it because Bruce Campbell's in it. The other one is a movie that I watched a couple years ago for the first time called Creature Unknown. And that stars somebody from Lost. And it's a really bad creature feature. Maggie Grace, who played Shannon.
Shannon.
On Lost, yeah.
Yeah, her career took off. She was in Lost, and then she was in Taken, and then we never heard from her again. I think maybe she was in Twilight. She was like a minor role in Twilight.
Could be.
And that's like one of my most favorite riffs from, I think it's Breaking Dawn Part 1, because she's more prominent in Breaking Dawn Part 2. I know all about these Twilight movies. Is that like one of the lines is like they cut to her and she's like looking very distressed, and someone's be like, oh, I was so much hotter on Lost, which is true. They kind of did her dirty in those movies.
Yeah.
But creating Rum Lazar, I suppose let's start from the beginning. So the movie opens up with a child. I believe his name is Zach, and he's in an open, like a misty void, and he's like, Rem Lazar, where are you, Rem Lazar? And Rem Lazar is now for people who haven't seen the movie, Rem Lazar let's settle this. Is his hair blue or purple?
It's purple because it's the same color as the outfit. Yeah.
Okay. So he has purple hair, headband, superhero tights. No no symbol right there. But I think that's like what they're looking for. It's a Quixotic medallion.
Also, for those of you who don't know, I did actually look this up because I wasn't sure what it meant. But Quixotic means exceedingly idealistic. Unrealistic and impractical. So kind of like the movie.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Also, the tagline for this movie is every child has a Rem Lazar.
The purple measuring man. That's what Oliver Lang says. You know what?
That's not bad. That's pretty
it's
apt.
It's not bad. I think that may be doing Rem Lazar a little dirtier then maybe he deserves, because Rem Lazar isn't carrying around a dildo, a sparkly dildo, which Measuring Man literally does.
Yeah.
And Measuring Man exists in the world. I guess Rem Lazar exists in the world, too. He's the cop. But Measuring Man was the milkman, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. But, okay, anyway. So, He has this imaginary friend, Rem Lazar. He's like this weird superhero with purple hair and a headband. And it cuts to him in school, and he's drawing like this weird infinity symbol. And that's all he's doing.
Yeah.
And the teacher, whose hair I could just smell from 1989. like I could
that hairspray.
Like,
you know that smell.
That was me in that seat. I could be like, well, this is exactly what school was like, except our hallways weren't like nearly like this clean and filled with mist.
And 5 miles like, long.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Zach, and she like, be like, Zach, Zach. And she's like, So I guess his mind wandered in class, which, you know, if you've been in a school, you know, of course that's going to happen because you're there against your will and forced to learn about things you don't care anything about and you'll never use in your whole life. So why would you pay attention? You know, you're definitely going to need an escape from that.
Yeah.
She'd be like, "What do you think you're doing? I'm not doing anything." He wasn't doing anything. She'd be like, "I'm tired of you, daydreaming in class. I think it's time for you to go see the principal about your behavior." Like, what behavior? What did he do? He didn't do anything.
No, he just like, wasn't paying attention.
Reams him out in front of the whole class. Like, the whole class is like, "Ha, ha, 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 oh my gosh." And so he just like does the walk of shame, you know, like, you know, the walk of shame, the child version of that is you just walk out of, like, you know, just like in front of everybody, they're all laughing at you. And he sings like this song about having like this imaginary friend. Guys, the songs in this, I would say they're not bad, but that's not true. They're pretty bad. He starts thinking about his imagination, about like, I'm dreaming of a dream.
Yes, when I dream, I'm dreaming of a dream,
hoping to find what I see in my mind is a part of me.
And you can't hear any of the words that they're saying because the music is so loud over it. Which is probably a good thing, honestly.
Perhaps he's wondering why someone would shoot a man before throwing him out of a plane. Anyway, don't get me on Bane. I'll do Bane for forever. But anyway, so Rem Lazar, he's always like in the first part of the movie, Rem Lazar is always like this misty figure, in the mist. Yeah.
In the background.
And he's always hanging out. He's always hanging out in the back. And so Zach sings his part, and then Rem Lazar starts singing. And he sings to be like, so they're like back in the class. They're back at the classroom. And Rem Lazar is sitting in the seat behind Zach, and Aquanet teacher lady is like hovering over him like, "Rah." Be like, "You need to get a Batman logo shaved in your hair like the rest of the boys," or something. he'd be like, he's talking about like he's singing to the teacher about like, I think that our producer, songwriter, director's intent was to be like, "Hey, this kid has value, and these are some of the things that I like about this kid," and like the he's his own unique individual, and you know, his company brings me happiness, of course. Mm-hmm. But that's not how it comes off. The lyrics are and we are this is gonna get me on a watch list. Part of the okay, I know I can do it. "Part of the joy that I get from this boy is his innocent laugh and his style." Ooh. So it's like, part of the joy that I get from this boy. We debated naming that the title of this episode, "Part of the joy that I get from this boy." But very clearly we did not go with that because that would have got Jeremy's channel nuked.
I'd be the subject of many TikTok videos, I'm sure. But yeah, it's funny because then he goes to the principal's office after this whole like 4 minute long song, and he's in there. And
yeah, okay,
the principal,
guys. Sorry, Jeremy. I'm gonna let you finish. No, you guys know how you would. You guys know how you would go to the principal's office and you would get yelled at? No. That's not Zach's style. So he goes to the principal's office and he yells at the principal.
He's going into the principal's office, he's sitting waiting, and Ashley walks by him clearly just leaving the principal's office. They make a joke about setting things on fire or whatever. And it was pretty good. But so he finally goes into the principal's office.
And he's just like...
he's like, do you even have kids? While there's like, a picture of his family sitting right in
like
front
right
of him
there, on the desk, facing...
next to the bust of...
I think it's William Tell.
I don't remember. William Penn? William Penn?
Possibly.
Oliver, who was it? I know Oliver will remember.
We're
going
to go. I'm
going to
go with William Penn. The bust of William Penn.
William Penn. Yep. All right. Good. Thank you. I knew he would know.
Because they did say it in the riff. But
that's why
I guess, like, you know.
That's why I like having Oliver in here, because he's like our own little personal fact checker for the show. He knows he knows these facts like the back of his hand sometimes, and it's amazing.
So but he gets in there and like he's back, he's just the principal is like, Zach, what are we gonna do with you? He's like the most milquetoast, like, you know, passive principal you'd ever like. You know, I got sent to the principal office. What the fuck, right? Like that's what it was like.
Yeah,
like.
He's
just like,
do
what
you
are we
have
gonna
children?
Do?
How do you let them
like,
talk about
I'm
their
getting
dreams?
Sick. He's just like, I'm getting tired of all of you. Like, well, I think clearly he's been like, I mean, I think that he's justified in his outrage because, like, very clearly, like, this has been a problem.
Yeah.
Like, him getting in trouble for doing literally nothing. So I'd be like, I'm getting sick of all of you. It's about time this and that. And he just lets this principal have it. And the principal just doesn't do anything. Like,
he just walks out. He's like,
he just be like, nothing happened.
Yeah. So, and then we meet where, well, we're introduced at this point to Ashley and her wonderful, loving, caring, nurturing mother. And, while she's chewing her out
for having
an imaginary friend.
For having an imaginary friend. Okay. Now, they don't know at this time that and it's never really explained why both Zach and Ashley have the same imaginary friend.
Right.
So this is clearly, Rem Lazar is clearly a Freddy Krueger type character in like how he manifests himself. You know, you know what I mean. Like, it wouldn't make any sense for these two children, even if they are in the same like school, to have the same imaginary friend, because like, you know, kids make up all kinds of insane stuff. Like no kid's gonna have the same imaginary friend. One kid's gonna have like I think if it was more realistic, like Ashley, she would have had like a, you know, like it would have been like another girl or something, like, you know, like this
not
is
an
Stephanie.
Adult male.
Yes. Not an adult male in tight
skin tight.
And Zach would have had like some kind of animal, like, you know, like he would have had a backstory and lore. Like this is, I don't want to say Harvey, but this is, Ikarika from, like the Blurfner region of Mars, and like, you know, he's developed a whole lore about like why you can't see him and why I'm so special that he only talks to me. It's kind of like Martian Manhunter. I don't know. I'm not totally pulling from my own childhood.
No, instead they both have a guy that looks like a dude from Porky's 1 and Porky's 2.
Is he in those?
Yes. Yes. He is Frank in Porky's and Porky's 2. I don't know the character. I've never actually seen the movies, but I just thought that was kind of funny. That was his first acting gig. His first two acting gigs were the first two Porky's movies, and then he's in this.
Now, he's most famous for creating Rem Lazar. But anyway, Jeremy, you were saying about how she is in trouble for having an imagination.
Yeah, her mom's just like totally laying into her for having this imaginary friend. And she's like, he's not imaginary, he's real. And she's like, well, introduce your special friend to me then. And she's like, well, I can't. He only finds me when I need him. I don't know how to find him. And then the mom's like, go to your room. You're not going to have dinner tonight. You're going to sleep with your lights off because you're a big girl. And, like, what the crap is going on?
Yeah, okay, look, if I had... If like, you know, like it's definitely not one of the great regrets of my life that, you know, I never had an adorable daughter. That wouldn't be such a great fun thing to have. Never. But if I did, and if I did have an cute, adorable little daughter and she was like, there's a real man who visits me while I sleep. I would snuffle up against that so fast. Like what? You know, I would because, you know, like isn't that a thing that happened, like, you know, on Sesame Street when Big Bird, like for years and years on Sesame Street, like Mr. Snuffleupagus is real, and all, you know, like all the humans were all just be like, oh yeah, Big Bird, whatever. Yep. Mr. Snuffleupagus is real. And then there was some controversy about like rapists parents not believing their kids, and so Sesame Street said, we're gonna show that Mr. Snuffleupagus is real. And I just realized that, like, you know, I just realized that they're basically saying that Mr. Snuffleupagus was raping Big Bird. I just barely realized that.
Creating like, to like, catch a predator, Oliver Lyon
yes
says.
Be like, and so they had Mr. Snuffleupagus. So no, like I would be like, what does, like, well, adorable daughter, what does this guy look like? I'm gonna stay in your room
with a shotgun. Yeah, I'm gonna sit in the corner. I'll be quiet
because
and go to sleep.
I believe you. So,
she gets sent to her room, and Remlazar appears in the darkness of her bedroom, and he's singing her a song that has something to do with being in the dark, because he's like,
no, yeah,
it's
fantasy, my little one.
And he's wearing the quixotic medallion.
Yes, and he's like,
it shoots like a
he's
ring
like holding
light.
Like his. He's holding his chest like that, like my little one. It's
he says,
very.
What's he say? When you close your eyes, it's dark and you don't see anything. So just pretend that you're in here with your eyes closed. Like, what? Don't.
It's yes.
Why are you telling this little girl just close your eyes? It's dark in here, but close your eyes. That's Yeah. Yeah, Chris Hansen definitely should have popped out at that at some point.
Yeah. Sorry, but, I was checking on something.
So she's got this like ring of light surrounding her, so she's not scared. And then she falls asleep, presumably.
Now I forget how to I'm pretty sure it was Ashley, the girl, that figured out that they had the same imaginary friend, but I don't remember how she figured that out.
The very next scene. When they're in school, they're like in art class or whatever, and she's drawing a picture of Remlazar, and Zach is over here expertly sculpting like a model of Remlazar. Like it was way too good for a kid of that age. What do you think? They were like 9, maybe 8.
I'm gonna say that they're my age. So this was 1989. So I'm gonna say that they were 8.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
You know, it's like they should have been reading instead of having imaginary fantasies about grown men and tights. They should have been idolizing the Kool-Aid Man, like, you know, and reading Kool-Aid Man comics. This corporate sponsor is your hero. Man, they sure did a good job at that.
I think I might still have one lying around somewhere.
Yeah, I remember like that's like one of my favorite childhood memories is like seeing the commercial where the guy that's dressed like fire and he'd be like
Thirsties?
Yeah. Yeah, and he like Kool-Aid Man, like he took the key to Kool-Aid Man's Kool-Aid castle. And Kool-Aid Man has had to go out and like look for the key.
There was a video game. It,
yeah, something. And to be like, I remember, but the sequence would be like, Kool-Aid Man is like on the side of a cliff in the commercial. And it'd be like, oh, I've come up to the side of this cliff, but I still don't have a clue. And then the narrator's like, oh, yes, you do. And there's just like I guess like the Scorch Man's symbol like right there. Kool-Aid Man is blind. He can't see the Scorch Man symbol. So I think it was like all to like buy the Kool-Aid Man comics to help Kool-Aid Man find the key to his Kool-Aid castle to defeat the Fireman.
Yeah.
But man, childhood. Anyway, Rem Lazar.
This is the cover for the Atari and Intellivision Kool-Aid Man. It's kind of small. That's the biggest one I could find that quickly, but nah. I just had to share that. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't insane. But the girl goes, Ashley goes over to Zach, and she's like, hey, what are you making? And he's like, psh.
He's like,
you're a girl.
Screw
leave
you.
Me alone. Girls,
go
girls
away.
Can't know you. Things. Girls don't know anything. Go play with the doll or something. My mom always said that I wouldn't be able to keep the girls away for long, but ew, okay? And so then she's like, oh, yeah? You forgot the quixotic medallion, and, like, slaps this infinity symbol on his chest, and he's like, how did you know about that? And she held up her picture that she was drawing of Rem Lazar, and they're like, oh, Rem Lazar! And he's like, all right, we gotta go talk about this. So they're walking, like, through the gym. I don't know if this is after school or during recess or if they just walked out of class this point.
Like
I don't really
free,
know.
Like free-flowing school, like how schools are on TV. Where it's not it's not strictly controlled. And kids hang out at school well before, like they get to school super early and they stay, like, way later. Because, man, let me tell you something. I could not get away from school fast and, like elementary
same.
School.
Absolutely the same.
Yeah, but then TV would always portray these kids just hanging out for hours and hours at the school after
having
school.
Having fun. Having a blast at school. Just hanging out. No thanks.
Yeah.
Like,
so no, thank you.
They're walking through the gym, and little Zach has, like, his little black leather coat or whatever, and he's got his sunglasses on, and he's like, follow me, but walk behind me and act like we don't know each other. And she's like, boy, you're crazy. I ain't following you. She's like, I'm going to walk next to you. And he's like, no, you can't. And she's like, well, tough. I'm going to do it anyway. And then they go out.
But then suddenly they become friends.
Yes. They're on the
like either
slide.
She like,
or
she threatens to leave or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, wait, come back.
She's like, take off those stupid sunglasses then.
So she shames him.
I love that was an actual
and he's like, oh, we're
like,
best
part
friends
of this movie.
Now.
Yeah, and then they are like they go on slides and they're swinging. He's pushing her on the swing, and they're
like,
singing
together,
a song about friendship,
about
and,
finding Rem Lazar,
and it's
they're
just
on like,
like
teeter totter.
Yeah, Saved by the Bell, the elementary years.
Together so then, we can make it. See, Rem Lazar becomes our fantasy. That's the level of songwriting that you get
they,
in creating Rem Lazar.
They finish singing their song, and the next scene is them walking towards like this rundown cabin or something, and they're like, "This is the official Rem. I declare this the official Rem Lazar clubhouse." And Ashley's like, "So it is declared." And they're holding just like
they're holding this mannequin. They're holding parts of
mannequin.
Like this mannequin.
Like, where the hell did they get a mannequin from?
We don't know where the mannequin came from. They have a mop head that they spray paint purple. They have like a headband, which okay, you can get those. And they have like these adult sneakers that they spray paint gold.
Oh my gosh!
And they put them together, and it's like, oh my gosh, it looks just like Rem Lazar. And they'll be like, and so they sing a song about how they've created Rem Lazar. It's just like, I'm tired. Let's take a nap. And they like both on like either side of the mannequin. And they're just like go like do that, and they like fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then Remlazar comes to life. He's a real boy. And he's like, oh, your fantasy is for real. Created from your dreams. Oh, he's just like you created Remlazar. Right, okay, so, yeah, and so I think they wake up and they're like, Remlazar, you're alive, like it's Frosty the Snowman.
But you don't have your quixotic medallion. And then he's my quixotic eyes, I can see.
And so, okay, so they have to find the quixotic medallion so he can, like, be more real? So that he can exist in the real world, but it seems like he's existing in the real world. I forget what the rules are. But like they have to find the quixotic medallion. And so they go out and they'll be like, oh, we have an enemy now. And his name is Vorlock.
Yeah. They're just walking while they're talking about needing to find the quixotic medallion. After, of course, Remlazar sings his Remlazar song. And, sorry guys. I know I can't sing either, but I can't help myself. Not with this one. And they're just walking, and all of a sudden, this giant floating pixelated head appears.
I call him Evil Mode 7 because pixels is bigger than your face.
If you remember the Super Nintendo and the Mode 7 scrolling, the 3D effect that they created for that, the Mode 7 chip. And he's talking about how he has hidden the quixotic medallion higher than any human can even imagine. And you must try and find it before the sun sets or Remlazar will disappear. And so they go to New York City.
Because, man, okay, so I think this is where a lot of the humor comes from. Because they'll be like, well, when you're a little child person, like what's like the highest point you can think of? A mountain? Like, well, I mean, they're in New York.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have many mountains there. So like they'll be like on top of a building.
Yeah.
So they go and they so this is 1989 and they look at the Empire State Building and Ashley is like, wow, that's a tall building. And then, like, you're so worried that this is that, like, they go, like, they go right there.
Yeah.
Like, they make a beeline for it. And they'll be like, yeah, but the one that my dad showed me was even taller. And there are two of them. And you're just like,
but Kevin says, what year was this movie made?
So they go and they look at the World Trade Center. And they're like,
but they have a little bit of a journey to get there.
Yeah.
They first encounter some, I gotta find this because I was just looking at the thing about this song here. Day and Night is this musical number. That's the name of it. So it starts off with an a cappella group with them. First they say it's Discount Rockapella. And then I don't remember who else said it, Bill maybe, and he's like, I thought Rockapella was Discount.
Was Discount Rockapella. Yeah. For the record, I like Rockapella. Do doop do da do
bow. Me too. I may have one of their Christmas albums.
She sneaks around the world from Kiev to Carolina. She's a sticky-fingered felcher from Berlin down to Belize. She'll take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me where in the world is Carmen Sandiego. Okay, that's it. That's all you get.
Then there's also, like, some other guy. Just the hip-hop MC. He's got the... knee-high white socks and loafers. This guy knows what's good.
Yeah.
With it or whatever. He knows what's hip. And then this violinist and...
Violin man. That was very strange. They end up,
like, dancing through the park. And then they finally see the Twin Towers.
And then I'm like, wow, we have to, like, I don't think they even try to get to the top of the towers.
No, because
I think
then
that,
the,
like,
head shows up again, and he's but I said higher than you can imagine, and you can see these, right?
That's a stupid technicality, Evil Mode 7.
And
you're definitely not the director
time.
No, no, because he's like he's very easily defeated, as we'll soon find out. Yeah. So, for some reason, after the song and after they be like, "Well, we're done here," they're in a forest. I don't know if they're still in the park.
I think,
but
it's
like
just
it just cuts to them in a forest, and then it just like multiverses. It like splits, like Rem Lazar and Zach go off in one direction. Even have like arrows that go like either way, and then him and Ashley go off into another. So Rem Lazar is in like two places at once.
Yeah,
with each of these two children. Which that you know, if I was one of those children, I'd be like, stay with me. I'm not going to be alone with Rem Lazar. I think somehow like the split is like they're supposed to like face their fears, and like their fears are being like, oh, I'm going to lose my friend Ashley or Zach, and be like, just like wish really hard and almost drown and you'll be reunited with your friend. That's the best way I can describe it.
The kid Zach sees like an illusion of the quixotic medallion and's like, oh, I can reach it. And then just plops into this pond. And we get like one of the most intensely over the top scenes where Rem Lazar totally freaks out because this kid just fell in the pond.
So I think like girl Ashley like wishes hard enough that the realities merge again, and they save Zach from drowning. And after that's accomplished, Evil Mode 7 shows back up, and is this being like, bah! And then Rem Lazar, he just falls down. He just be like, bah! Like, what happened, Rem Lazar? Be like, oh, I'm like. The way to beat him, and there's like no, like it's not earned, like it's like he is only mean because he doesn't have any friends,
and he doesn't have any friends because people are scared of him,
and if you just be his friend then he'll change and he won't have any evil power or want to be evil anymore. Now in the movie's defense, I think what they were trying to do here was be like, hey, look, kids that were mean to you at school, they're doing that because they don't have any friends and nobody likes them. And if you show them that you like them, then they'll actually be your friend. And like this actually happens. This is a thing that happens in school. In child culture is that, like, you know, some people are enemies, they don't like each other, and then they'll be like, oh, well, maybe you're not such a they're trying to teach that lesson to the kids and be like, go to your bully and be like, hey, I like you. And the bully's going to be like, oh, no one's liked me before. So I think that that's what they were going for.
In reality, but you do that and your bully's going to call you a slur and punch you in the face.
Yeah.
I don't know this from personal experience.
Yeah. But so Zorla, I don't know
if anybody
Evil Mode 7.
His name was
Mode 7.
Vorok.
Vorok. And so I think it's boy, the joy I get from this boy, gets up there and be like, Evil Mode 7, I like you. And then he's like, bruh.
Literally, that's exactly what he does.
That's exactly what he says. And then he's like, bruh. It's just be like, and then it's like, oh, like the power is leaving me. I'm nice now. I like you guys, Rem Lazar. Okay, bye.
And then they're like, well, give us the quixotic medallion now. And he's like, oh, I don't have it. It's still too hot for me to reach. Like this really weird voice. Like, I don't know what accent he was trying to go for there or what happened, but it was really bizarre.
I don't know if we've pointed this out, but the actor portraying Evil Mode 7 is our beloved director, producer, yep. songwriter.
His fault that we got this.
His fault? Wait. No, not his fault. Like, I love this man for this. What are you talking about?
So they go back to the little cabin or shack or whatever it is.
Yeah, they wake up.
They fall asleep. They wake up because a police officer comes in. And
it's Rem Lazar.
It's Rem Lazar is the
and
cop.
And he's being like, hey, your parents have been worried about you.
You've been missing
Come
for a whole
me.
Day.
And then, like, okay, well, here we go. Okay, well, I guess we'll leave. And they're like, no, leave that mannequin right here.
Yeah, leave the doll
I'm definitely not going to come back and have my way with a mannequin that's dressed up like someone who's clearly me.
And then when they get home, and they're both wearing the Quixotic medallion.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So,
Lazar.
And then there's more singing and the movie's over.
Yeah.
So, but there is one thing we didn't talk about, and that was about halfway through the movie is that there's a series
on the phone, yeah.
There's a series of still images of what's been in the movie so far. And they're like, what is this? And I have a theory. In 2022, this movie was re-released on Blu-ray. Now, I've seen this movie a few times, and I don't remember. I watched it on YouTube. Uh-huh. I don't remember those images there. And they look a little too modern and a little too, because they did say, like, why do you look like generic AI? They do look like AI drawings.
Yeah.
Of scenes from the movie. So, here's what I think. I think that Rem Lazar became kind of famous when it was featured on Best of the Worst on Red Letter Media. And that was in 2019. And, you know, people were like, well, we want this. And they're like, okay, we'll do a Blu-ray, but we have to upgrade it to Blu-ray quality. So my theory is that there was a section that they lost footage for, or something, kind of like with like those, like, you know, how they famously remastered Star Trek The Next Generation for Blu-ray, and they weren't able to find like all of the, not 100%, like they're able to find most of it, but not 100% of the original footage, because it was all shot on film. And I assume Rem Lazar was shot on film. This is 1989. It doesn't look like it was shot on video. It doesn't look like it was shot digitally. So I think that that section was not able to be upgraded to Blu-ray. So in order to make consistent with the high definition resolution, they just like grabbed stuff and they like, here, put it in AI and have it blow it up to the 300 DPI or 600 or whatever, and we'll just put that in there. And then, fine, boom, get it out there. That's my theory. If anybody else has a theory, because those images are clearly like 2020s, like post-pandemic AI.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have a better theory than that? Like, I'm not being like, oh, my theory is so great. Like, if anybody else has a better theory, put it out there. Because, man, that's the only thing I can think of the reason that they would want to do that.
That is definitely plausible. Like, I could see that being an actual thing. Like, the actual reason why. Now I want to find, like, an older version of that.
It's on YouTube. I'm scrolling on YouTube right now.
And there's actually a video from 7 years ago about, you know, somebody talking about creating Rem Lazar. I always screw that up.
Rem Lazar.
And the thumbnail is one of those static images from the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, well, there goes my thing.
It's... Here, let me bring it up real quick. This one? No? This one. There it is.
I'll tell you what, I don't remember seeing that though. I don't remember seeing those still images. Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah. So I don't know. That was...
I don't know, yeah. It's a mystery. So, Jeremy, what did you think of creating Rem Lazar? It's definitely... It really seems like his name should be an anagram. I'm using that term correctly this week. You'll be happy to know.
It should be an anagram
for something that, like, we don't know. Like, maybe even creating Rem Lazar could be, like, the full anagram.
You would think.
But it doesn't matter because we don't know what it is.
Right. Well, the actor who played him... said the name Rem Lazar was created by the director as a combination of REM sleep and tweaking the word laser. So
why?
There you go. I don't know. Because he comes to him in their dreams.
A REM laser. So I want to find that interview. Like, someone actually interviewed Jack Mulcahy about creating Rem Lazar.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Dunn. Oh man, I've been on all these TV shows. The only thing anybody ever wants to talk to me about is creating Rem Lazar. You know, I wonder if does he go to like conventions? Does he go to like Comic Cons? Does he go to like Fan X or whatever the hell you guys have out there? meet Rem Lazar. Like, that's his thing. He has like Rem Lazar, like glossy 8x10s. Like, I think that would be so adorable.
Maybe. I mean, I would meet him and have him sign something Rem Lazar related. I would.
Yes, I would. Yeah. I'd be like, sign it. Part of the joy that I get from this boy, Rem Lazar. So, Jeremy, what do you think of creating Rem Lazar? Did it live up to the hype?
Yes, absolutely. I've watched it 3 times already. And this is one that's going to go into heavy rotation, I believe. Yeah. It's an instant classic Riff Trax release.
Yeah.
Like, if you have not purchased this and have not watched it, you absolutely need to do so.
Yes. This is an essential.
It's also only $9.99. The other VODs had gone up, and when this one first went up, it was $10.99. And then when I looked at it a little bit later, it was $9.99.
I think maybe they fixed something. Yeah,
because it's short. It's like 48 minutes long. It was a kid's thing, so obviously it's not going to be very long. My daughter said it reminded her there was a kids video series. That we had a couple on DVD from my mom sent, you know, when my son was young. They're called We Sing, and it's like a little kid's, almost like a Barney knockoff type situation, where it's
there
like
are a lot
people
of
in costumes and kids singing, and it really had that feel to it, except maybe slightly better produced. Like, just about that much. But yeah, even she loved it. But this is right up there. You were absolutely right, Dave. This is right up there with the Talking Cat, with Fun at Balloon Land, Roller Gator. It's like the upper echelon of Riff Trax.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go top 10. Definitely top 20.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it a few more times before it can move up any higher, but it's definitely in the top 20.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's thumbs up. Get it. So do you want to rank it? I would just be like all fives.
Honestly, same. This movie has so much, like, I'm remembering the music, even though it was not great. I remember it. The cinematography, there was decent shots of stuff. I mean,
well, it was
again,
done, it was done professionally.
Yeah,
like you can, yeah, yeah. So I mean, like, it's not like, you know, something like Suburban Sasquatch.
No, no, where, it easily could have been something.
Yeah,
that
but
bad.
No, like there wasn't like, you know, shaky cam. There wasn't, you know, they used, they had microphones, they had lights, they had real actors.
Yeah.
You know,
I saw somebody mention this, and I agree with it. They do you remember? I know you do, but Miami Connection. Okay,
yes, of course.
Nobody knew what they were doing. They still made a movie, but the personality of that movie is what makes it. Like,
yeah,
this is the same thing. There was a guy who, you know, some people who had acted in other stuff. The director had produced other stuff. Like, they've done stuff. They kind of knew what they were doing. You know, making a kid's movie like that is different than making a regular movie. You're making a musical. But the character and personality of this movie is definitely all the way. Like, it's maxed out. This goes to 11. Like,
yeah.
And this... Honestly, I would watch this unriffed.
I have watched
it unriffed.
I would
watch this unriffed because it's just so wild and goofy. It was like a talking cat. I watched a talking cat unriffed. And I would watch this. Absolutely, I would watch this unriffed. But it was excellent. It was a lot of fun.
It was.
I haven't had this much fun watching a riff since, I think, The Little Mermaid. That came out. Not saying I didn't enjoy like Grim Tracks.
Oh,
and
no,
stuff,
we,
but...
we like Grim Tracks and Spy High. Those were excellent.
Yeah, but this one was just so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna get and we could talk about this because this was broadcast. This was in a thing. One of the upcoming riffs that they're doing.
Oh no.
Is also something that Dave and I have watched before. I can't say that we're both excited about this one.
I know. Well, one of us is not, and one of us is. And guess from like people in the Twitch, guess who is excited about it, and guess who is not.
They have mentioned that they're working on the Amazing Bulk.
Amazing Bulk.
Which is a horrible, 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 horrible. Like,
it's a nightmare. It's
movie. I think they made the whole thing in Poser.
I remember renting it. I mean, we talked about this last time, but I remember watching it for the first time, and I was just like, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah. It's insanity. It's literal insanity.
Like, okay, I'll give the Amazing Bulk. Maybe we should save some of this for like when they actually release it.
Yeah.
But like, you look at things like Things, and Copper Mountain maybe, but you look at like these amateur things, which. The Amazing Bulk absolutely is. Suburban Sasquatch and Fungicide and you know these Z grade movies. I think The Amazing Bulk looks better for the most part than those movies. Like, you can look at The Amazing Bulk and see what is supposed to be going on. But like, that is like, and unlike Things, where you just got to be like, what, like where you can't see anything. It's just like, you know, they shot The Amazing Bulk, like the human parts of it, they shot it with a real camera, like a camera that you're supposed to shoot movies with, and that was the only thing they did right. The rest of it is
literally the only thing they did right.
Yeah, the rest of it is just bonkers insanity. Yeah, like We'll wait. We'll wait. Because, man, I watched this movie, I think, in, like, what, 2016? Like, maybe even 2018.
But we both watched it. We both watched it around the same time. I think it might have been, like, the same day, like, him in the morning and me at night or whatever.
It is worse than Neil Breen. It's absolutely worse than Neil Breen. I like Neil Breen movies. I'll watch those. But, yeah, man, it's, boy, oh, boy.
You guys are in for something. Anyway. Don't look anything up about it. Just wait till the Rift Tracks comes out and watch it that way, please. Because you might not want to watch the Rift Tracks if you watch the movie by itself.
Yeah, it's like that. It is very much like that. But Creating Rem Lazar is fantastic.
Yes, Creating Rem Lazar is outstanding. It is so good. And I think we're definitely going to be bringing this one up in our year in review.
Yeah,
it's
like,
gonna
okay,
be...
look for me, like I, like to, like for me, like this year we've already had three Riff of the Year contenders, like very strong contenders: Little Mermaid, Grim Tracks, Creating Rem Lazar. Like we already have three that are in the running. We don't usually have three in the running. Luckily, we have like sometimes we have like one if we're lucky at this point in the year, but no, we have three very strong contenders so far. So, yeah, the climb we might already be there. The climb towards a new Rift Tracks golden age just continues, and we might already be there. I just said it like 5 seconds ago, but it bears repeating.
We're close.
That's all I got.
I want to go watch it again.
It's a good one. I love it. I love Rem Lazar.
I'm just putting the Blu-ray in my Amazon cart right now. I will be buying this movie and watching it without the riff. Absolutely. I mean, I'll be watching it with the riff too, but I got to see it at least one time without the riff. And I don't want to watch an old VHS quality version of it on
YouTube.
On YouTube. I would rather give them money to watch this movie on riff.
Oh, wow.
Which that says a lot, cuz I don't usually give anybody any money for movies. I mean, I don't have to.
He really doesn't.
And
he's very I don't think I'm talking out of school here when I say that Jeremy likes piracy a lot.
Yar, matey. Oh, man, but I definitely buy in this one.
But not for Rift Tracks. Don't pirate Rift Tracks. That's bad. It's immoral because we like them.
And they're a small company. They have like 15 people that work there.
Yeah.
And they're their own standalone thing now. They used to be part of Lionsgate, and now they're not. So
I didn't know that.
We support them as much as we can, which is why we like doing their Kickstarters and their live shows and all that stuff.
All right,
but,
cool.
That's going to do it. Thanks for hanging out while we talked about Rem Lazar. If you enjoyed the podcast today, the best way to support us is to follow us on Twitch. And of course, you know, you can subscribe and cheer bits and all that fun stuff. You can head over to patreon.com/trueblueriffcast, where I did actually post the first thing to our free tier the other day. That was our discussion when we went live for the Kickstarter.
Oh, you didn't.
That was, not the first one, the second one.
Okay.
So it's archived, so you can always go and watch it there. And if you want to watch any video of any of our podcasts, you can catch those there as well. And, of course, you can find the podcast on any of your favorite platforms. And you can follow it on the Dumpster Fire, formerly known as Twitter, at TBRiffCast.
We were talking about that before the thing, and a bunch of stuff going on there that I'm not going to repeat, where I was just like, yeah, it's getting really bad there, guys. It's bad.
Yeah, anything else, Dave?
Full stop. Yeah. No, I'm no. Oh yeah, check me out on Amazon and Audible. That's me, Dave Chadwick. All my books. All right. That.
And we will be back next Tuesday with another episode of the True Blue Riffcast.
Rock till you die.